It's such an honor for me to preach on this Sunday. And I feel so humbled to preach on this. Again, it's the last Sunday, the last Sunday of the year, and I've been given this opportunity. I'm so happy. I just want to bring you and just think, just in your mind, picture Jesus on the cross. Just see him there, hanging on the cross, crucified. And in your mind, just begin to see two criminals, one on the left and one on the right. Just have those three figures as I continue to talk to you this morning. But you hear the song which the choir has led us, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This song has been repeatedly, you know, in my mind all the night, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But let me take you again to this image, this picture, these three figures on the cross. Jesus is hanging there. He's hanging on the cross. And we know the multitude, the soldiers and other people were, you know, insulting him, crucifying him, all sorts of names that you can think. And they nailed him. And it was a strong message to the entire community that when you do this against the government, this is the way you will die. You will die like a criminal. You will die like this. You will be hanged on the cross. So it was a strong message to the entire people, to the entire community, the kind of the death that they will suffer. But this morning, I want to talk about the second chance. The second chance. We do have the second chance. But I want to ask you this morning, do you ever wish if you could have a second chance in your life? The second chance. A second chance to say something different. A second chance maybe not to say something or say anything at all. A second chance to repair a relationship or make the most of some opportunity. A second chance to chase a dream you deferred or follow through on a responsibility you avoided. And in this gospel alone, Jesus forgives those who crucify him. All those who crucified him. And I want to include all the participants, but also the passive bystanders who were there. And then there is a thief. There's a thief whose name is, who names his own sins, and yet then asks to be remembered. You know, sometimes it's very important to be remembered. It's very disturbing. It's very shameful sometimes when you go to the person and say, you know, do you remember me, Pastor? And they say, no, you know, it's just not right. You just want to be remembered, especially when you go to somebody, you know, confidently, do you remember me? And say, no, but I don't. It's just not right. The criminal said, Jesus, remember me. In other words, saying, please, give me the second chance. Give me the chance. Only to receive Jesus' promises that he will join him in paradise. But let's see this. What kind of a king who is dying this way? What kind of a king is this? A king who is dying on the cross. We know the kings that we know, you know, they've got, you know, huge security around them. But there is a king hanging on the cross. What kind of a king is this? A king who is crucified. What kind of a king is this? A king who forgives the very people who have secured his death. What kind of a king is this? Who is hanging on the cross? Grants salvation to the criminal on the cross next to him. And what kind of a king? A king who brings the condemned into paradise with him rather than brings upon them further condemnation. What kind of a king is this? But this morning I want to challenge the church today. And what is the responsibility of the church in the community today, in this country, in the world over. What is the responsibility of the church? The church is and should be a force of everything that is good and decent in the world. It may have to tell the truth about itself. The church that has to apologize for not standing up for the very persons Jesus sought out to save. To forgive those who try to silence his voice but keep preaching anyhow and anyway. To look to the left and to the right and notice who is getting hanged on a tree and say, stop it. This is the kind of the church. But this morning I was telling the other group in the morning, I say, you know what? I don't know if you really notice this. I'm sure it will be recorded. I'm not sure if you notice this. Every time when you walk in this church, I do that, there are four or five chairs outside. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Okay. There are chairs. And most of the time during the week, when I walk in or out, I find there are people sitting on those chairs. Students, homeless, all sorts of people. Some who buy their pizza there, and they come and sit and enjoy their pizza there. And always I say, oh, wow. I don't know this person who thought about this image. I just don't. This person must be a genius. This person is genius. You know, those chairs are a sermon. Those chairs, even if you don't put anything written outside, those chairs are a sermon. They preach every day. And you find people sitting there. And I always ask myself, what do they think when they sit on this chair? And those chairs are a sign of inclusion. A sign of the church who we are. And let me tell you this morning, I want to belong to this church. A church with that kind of a sermon outside, which preaches every day, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. It's a symbol of this church, a symbol of who we are, and it's a sermon, and I want to belong to this church. My brothers and sisters, let me go on and say, this morning, the primary characteristics of our King is a commitment to solidarity with and in our suffering. The salvation in which we believe because of the cross of Christ is not just about Jesus' death. It is salvation that the criminal received, felt, and knew both before his own death and Jesus' death. That there was someone who was suffering with him. Someone. Suffering with him on the cross. Someone who spoke against his suffering in the form of the empire or another evil. That someone is Jesus. That someone is Jesus, my brothers and sisters. The criminal died knowing that someone was with him in his suffering. I'm not sure whether this criminal really knew Jesus, who Jesus was. But that doesn't matter. I don't mind whether he knew he was Messiah or not. But what is important to me is that he did know that Jesus saw his suffering and suffered with him. That is what is important. He suffered with him. He did not know that the death of Jesus was a death that spoke volumes against the powers that tried to shut the justice and shut up the cries of the oppressed. But here is something. There is a conversation at the deathbed. Now, let's go back to the three images that I asked you right at the beginning. One of the criminals insults Jesus. Why doesn't Jesus save you if he has the power to do so? That man asked Jesus to use what he has received from God for his well-being to make his life easier and also to accomplish quickly his mission to save others. If he is the Messiah, why doesn't he help those who crucified man at the end of their life as he helped so many sick people? If he is the Messiah, Why doesn't he save the two poor dying men? Save us, asks the criminal on the cross. But Jesus doesn't answer the first criminal. He doesn't even allow himself to be drawn into this kind of provocation. But the other criminal, the second criminal, rebukes the first one. He speaks of a fear of God. The fear of God. That leads him to recognize his own guilt and Jesus' innocence. A fear that, far from paralyzing him, opens up for him a hope. At the cross, he finds the courage to think of the future and the strength to pray to Jesus and ask him not only to forget him in his kingdom, but his prayer is so humble and does not demand anything. It is an honest prayer, and his words show his sincerity. He does not hide the evil he has done, and it is a prayer full of trust, for he knows that Jesus will come as king. Even before him, he only sees a crucified man about to die. So the second criminal has no illusions about his own abilities. He needs Jesus to remember him in order to support him and take care of him. And he knows that Jesus' remembering will be enough to save him. He too asks to be saved. Again, we see in the second criminal that he shows his great faith. And Jesus shows the fellowship and promises to its fullness in life. My brothers and sisters, in the midst of suffering unto death, we hear a personal and transformative promise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, and soon and very soon. In other words, Jesus was saying, I will see you soon, my friend. Soon. Today. And the issue of time is very important in the book of Luke. Today, now. He doesn't even procrastinate his promise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is saying, today, you heard my call. I said, follow me. And you said yes. It's an endless companionship. Today, you accept me as Lord of your life and are willing to stand with me as part of my God's righteousness making activity. A formal promise with the seal of his authority. Truly, I tell you. Truly, I tell you. Today, you will be with me in paradise. These words of Jesus are surprising. And on the cross, I mean, if you can imagine, on such a situation, after going all the toil, all the beatings, everything, Jesus opens his arms to forgive someone who says he deserves capital punishment for his crimes. And this criminal may say, maybe the first person to be with Jesus in paradise. And I want you to take you to something which is very amazing in this text. When Jesus died on the cross, he died among the criminals. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is why? Why? I mean, maybe they could have chosen some other people to die with him. They were disciples, isn't it? Who should have been hanged together with him? But not disciples, not his apostles, but the criminals. Because, of course, Jesus was taken as one of the criminals. You can say that. But why did Jesus die among the criminals? Because he loved sinners. He was sometimes called the friend of sinners. And again, we see on the cross the humility. The kind of the death is humility, a symbol of humility. And I want you to take back when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, he was born among the animals. And when he died among the criminals. Jesus was born in a manger. He died on the cross. This is a divine humility, my brothers and sisters. I wish if we can be called the friends of sinners, all of us. But we are, because of the chairs that are outside our church. We are the friends. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Jesus gives equal opportunities. Do you still have this? I want you to see him there. Jesus gives equal opportunities. Jesus is in between two criminals. One on the right, one on the left, right? One on the right, one on the left. Equal opportunities. And the choice is yours. You have the opportunity to make things right. You have an opportunity, you have got a second chance to make things right. And we do have two criminals with equal opportunities. It's your choice to abuse that opportunity. It's your choice to make use of that opportunity. And we see in this text that there is one of the criminals who took advantage of the nearness or the closeness of Christ. But my brothers and sisters, proximity and opportunity never guarantee you the eternal life or destiny. But if we turn to Jesus today, if we turn to him today, he has got this promise, today I will be with you in paradise. You know, sometimes we can be close, but sometimes we may miss the opportunity. We might think, yes, we sit, we eat together, but we might miss the opportunity. Only when you turn. And look at this thing. The scripture shows that Jesus turned and looked to this criminal, you know. He turned to him and granted him the promise. Today you will be with me in paradise. But there's something I want to ask again as I conclude. Do you know that both the criminals were among the people who insulted or reviled Jesus in the first place? If you read Matthew chapter 27, verse 44, you will hear that in the first place. In Luke, we are not told. It's like the first criminal, the second criminal is just like he was just quiet all the time. No, in the beginning, he was also part of the crowd who were saying all sorts of insults to Jesus. Matthew chapter 27, verse 44, it says, and the robbers who were crucified, get this, this is plural, the robbers. Robbers. And it's only in Matthew and Mark where we are told the crime of these criminals. Luke doesn't tell us what they are only told, we are only told they are criminals. But Matthew and Mark, they specify they were robbers. So their crime is clear. They were robbing people. So they say, and the robbers, in plural, who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. So they were part of the crowd that were also insulting Jesus together with the second criminal. But let's see, suddenly we see the second criminal is silent. Something clear is beginning to take place in his heart and in his mind. He thinks of himself. Hey, come on, fuck. Why do you say that? We are dying because of what we know, what we have done. But he is innocent. Something begins to come in his mind. Something very important. Something is coming in his heart that indeed, even this man is dying today, indeed, he is the king. He is the king of my life. My brothers and sisters, in the midst of apparent vulnerability and lack of power, God continues to exercise authority in the world through Jesus. And our Christ Jesus offers forgiveness to people who doesn't show remorse for what they are doing. We have no sign of repentance whatsoever. But today, my brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you. I want to call you to mind one of those things for which you long to have a second chance. Whatever regret or disappointment you harbor, and then take just seriously the second chance and new life in Jesus offers us from the cross. Christ the King has granted to us a second chance and sent us from worship free to live into the new reality, repairing those relationships that need repair, amending our speech or actions, giving of what we have and enjoy, and living without a burden of regret we have carried for too long. Today is Christ the King's Sunday. The Lord God says to you and me, I love you. I am with you. I will strengthen you no matter what your situation is. I will be with you in the midst of your pain. And when you die, I will be as I said to the thief on the cross. Today, this very day, you shall be with me in paradise. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Amen.